Peter, I don't know when anyone's listening to this particular episode. I don't know when it's airing, but I do know when we're recording this.
Yeah.
The voices you hear right now in your ear holes were recorded on the Wednesday after the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, about 2 days out.
And Peter and I are sitting in two chairs.
In the country.
Very close to each other. Almost, our knees are almost touching for some reason. Oh, it's because these mic cables are so ridiculously short. We have to sit very close to each other. Peter can't look at me.
Cannot even look at you.
Can you focus at all? Do you have any ability to focus? Or are you just in a post-endorphin heat stroke recovery phase? Peter, congratulations. You finished the 2017 Boston Marathon. You ran all 26 miles and a 0.2. You did it before the sun went down, which can't be said for everyone who started that race.
Yeah, it's true.
And I got to see you at the top of Heartbreak Hill.
Yeah. So that did happen. So that goal, check, done.
You have a medal.
Check, done.
You got a post-marathon massage.
Yeah, not enough, but enough, you know.
You hugged a lot of people. You got pictures with a lot of people, including family members.
Yes, my brother, my mother, my son. Check.
I think you hit a lot of your goals, Peter.
I did, and I also high-fived a lot of strangers and a lot of children. I dare say it was a PR, Brian, in the sense that it was the best recorded time of me running 26.2 miles on the surface of the sun. Because it was extremely hot. It was extremely hot. I was about an hour and 2 minutes off of my time from 2 years ago. There's a couple things at play there.
I sense a trend in our marathon running, Peter.
Yeah, that whole thing where I was like, I'll qualify when I'm 70. Yeah, well, maybe. I think I knew very early on that this was not the race where I was going to even scratch the time from 2 years ago. I probably knew as early as mile 8 or 9 because I fell off the half marathon by 20 minutes at least. And there was no way of getting it back. The sun was just too bright and too hot and too strong.
And there's no shade. I mean, it's early April, yeah, so there's no leaves on the trees.
Yeah, there really wasn't. There really wasn't.
And you've been running only in basically 45 degrees or cooler the whole training.
Yeah, the tailwind was good. That was a very different feeling from 2 years ago where we had that headwind the entire way. Although now I think I battled against the headwind, and I pushed harder against the wind, and in some ways it kept me upright. Do you know what I mean? And I dug down deeper 2 years ago. There's also no question that you and I trained ferociously for that first one. When I look at the mileage that we clocked December, January, February, March versus what I did for January, February, March, because honestly, I didn't really start my training until January. And I didn't really have a baseline of fitness in the month of December.
No, you were coming off of injury. We had trained for that first one 6 months or more.
More like 9, if you really think about it, because you and I knew 6 months before the first of the year that it was going to be a reality, and we trained very seriously for a half in the fall. So it was this race, the Boston race, was humbling. It was very humbling, and I learned a great deal. I learned that you can decide how the race will run as the race is telling you some things. So again, like by mile 8, I had made some choices, and I said, well, I'm not even going to come close. So I knew by mile 10 I was going to start seeing people I knew. So it was important to me to spend some quality time with each and every person because they were giving their time and their energy. I mean, it was hot for them. We started at 11:20, and those first couple hours till about 1:30, 2 o'clock were just There was no clouds. And I know it was hot for people standing on the sides, and it was certainly hot for the people I was traveling with, because I stayed within a pod of runners for almost the entire race. There was about 20 people I kept seeing over and over and over again. So that sort of showed me, oh, wow, we really are all being punished by this.
Oh, nature. I didn't have that experience in either marathon.
Yeah, it was, this whole race felt very congested. I think the official number was like 26,000 that actually ran ultimately, or finished, I should say.
Yeah, because 30-31 was the number that was being bandied about all weekend.
That was the original registration amount. The actual start number was lower, and then there was about 840 people, about 3%, who did not finish.
That seems extraordinarily low.
I don't know how that compares in other, but here's what I do know. I saw people in every medical tent.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people regurgitating.
Oh, boy.
I saw a lot of people hurting, and I saw a lot of people walking. And I tried to keep it together pretty much through the firehouse turn, but I had to start walking quite a bit.
Well, that's mile 20. Oh, that's miles...
17 and 18. It's 17 and a bit. And I kept it together till about 16.8, because that was where I saw social media guru Anna Brooks.
Yay!
And she was sort of a goal for me. She was like, get to that. And that was sort of the end of my first part of the race. And I was pretty happy with my performance up through there. But then after I saw her, I didn't have any resources. It was very hard to get back to a place of okayness. Now, part of that was a mistake in nutrition. I took 6 goos with me. They were all tri-berry flavor. And you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't keep the same flavor of goo.
No, because after you have 2, you really will never eat that flavor for at least a week.
Yeah, it starts to become almost a punishment.
Yep.
It starts to taste in your mouth almost medicinal.
Yeah.
Because of the extreme heat, there was a nausea that was starting to hit.
Well, and I can tell you that... when you know you've had, if you bring a rainbow of goo flavors, you know that at least the next one, you're not looking forward to it, but it won't be tasting like the one you just had.
Right, right.
At least there's that.
There is that. I did do a very good job of hydrating, and the only thing that kept me ultimately out of the medical tent or having a DNF, I'm sure of now, is the fact that For the Friday before, the Saturday before, and especially the Sunday before, I overdrank water. I drank so much water and was completely hydrated. So that when I was in the actual race, I then made very good use of the Gatorade, which is something I don't do every mile stop, but the BA was insisting that everybody do that.
Yeah, you needed your electrolytes.
Absolutely.
And your sodium.
And I could feel the amount of salt coming off of me.
I bet.
So I learned a lot about hydration. I learned a lot about nutrition. I definitely, toward the back end of it, because I was walking so much, fell into a trap of thinking I didn't need the goos. I ended up only using 4 of my 6.
Yeah.
And that was probably not smart.
You were just trying to stay alive.
But I probably should have thrown a 5th one in. Or ask for a different flavor or something.
Who knows? Could have had a hot dog and been fine.
I did at the after party and it was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, let me tell you one thing.
Go ahead.
I know you were saying you were feeling sorry. It was so warm for the spectators. This was a magnificent day.
Was it good?
For spectators.
I wish I had been one.
It was sunny and warm for the first couple hours, as you well know.
With a nice breeze.
Yep. And then actually a lot of breeze. I had a tent, which I had tied the HWIRT banner to.
I don't remember seeing the banner at all.
Right there on the side of the road. It was. Yes, it was still there, although the tent, the poles broke and bent over because it was the wind actually broke the poles.
Wow.
It was pretty windy. Few gusts, and then some cloud cover came over, and so some of us put on a sweatshirt or something, but it wasn't really that cool. It was a lovely, perfect day for spectators. Not so great for runners.
Yeah, but you were at mile 20.
We were at mile 20.
And my issue was that the damage was sort of done by mile, say, 14.
Sure.
It was a collective thing of about 2 hours of just deep, deep sun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So the clouds did move in, and it was more pleasurable finishing it out. But also because I'd already switched over my mind to, I'm going to see people and I'm going to stop with people. And I just was doing a count on my way over here. I stopped and spoke to and hugged or took photos with, and I mean real stops, like 30, 40, maybe a minute, maybe a little more than a minute, at least 21 times.
But that's fantastic.
I think so. I think, and that's a different experience. That's a way different experience than what we had 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not at all regretting it. And I knew I was jumping in late to the training to begin with. I knew a million things. But ironically, when the day started, I was feeling great. I thought I had it in the bag.
Well, I have to tell you, you made that decision to make it a social parade. You said around mile 14. And I was looking, a lot of our friends were running, a lot of people that we've had on the show, and looking at times, and I know a few people who were looking at goal times, and nobody made their goal times.
Right.
It was not the day for it. It was too hot. And some people really missed by a lot.
Yeah.
Not like, 5 or 10 minutes, by like 45 minutes, by an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's because they were pushing it for longer than you were.
Yeah.
And they kept trying to get back into it, and then it just wasn't going to happen. So that's hard. But I've heard a lot of good stories, though. A lot of people, not good stories, but people who are still happy with the fact that they made it. Maybe there's a maybe there's something to going through not the best weather, not having your best race, and still running the 26.2.
Well, it's funny, on the course, about two or three or four times, I saw the marathon jacket from 2015 on people. And I would run over to them and point at them and say, I would just point and I would say, 2015. And they would look right at me because they understood what I was saying. And I said, I raced that one. It sucked. And they would say, it did suck. And then I would say, this is worse.
That's
and they
brilliant.
And they would laugh.
That's brilliant.
And I never, in the 2 years since we've done that one, I've never really had that moment with people, but it is the kind of thing where that's what the sort of the jacket's for. It's this understanding of like, we did this thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have this thing that people who didn't do it won't really get. And now the new blue jacket for this year. I mean, we'll have this thing. You know, I saw someone in the Dunkin' Donuts this morning. I was picking up a bagel for my son, and the woman in front of me had the jacket on from this year. And I said, how'd you do? And she said, it wasn't great.
Yeah.
And I said, no, but we got through it. She said, oh, did you do it? Because I didn't have my jacket on, because it was actually too cold today for that jacket, I thought. It was.
Yeah, you needed
I needed my parka back out, yeah. And I said, yeah, I did it, and it was hard. She said, yeah, it was hard. But she was glad she did it. I mean, I think that's going to be true, right? As time goes on, you're going to look back and say, I'm so glad I did it.
Right. You know, it makes me wonder, and I don't want to pull us too far away from this experience that you've had.
No.
But it makes me wonder how people like our friends Mike Wardian and Pam Rickard and Bill McCabe have done some of these races across deserts and across other areas. And, you know, we know people who have run marathons in the in the deep south in the summer. I guess there's a training component to it. I mean, if you have a month or so to start to acclimatize to the heat, it's always going to be hard. You're not going to be beating. You're not going to be PRing in those races. But still, to run Badwater or to run across the Gobi Desert or to run Death Valley. Or any summer races. I mean, it was only 75 degrees. I mean, at the warmest, it was only 75, but it was brutal sun.
It was,
you're talking 30 degrees warmer than anything you had trained in.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying obviously, it was hard for 27,000 participants. But I'm also saying it's amazing that people do that race and longer in even warmer conditions. Yeah. It's amazing what the human body can survive, isn't it?
It is amazing. And what I took away from it was, well, this is all just experience. And even though I wasn't even close to my speed from 2 years ago, I felt I ran a much smarter race this year than I did 2 years ago. Because I didn't know enough 2 years ago to be smart. Do you know what I mean? Or to be respecting the course.
I didn't know there was an opportunity to say, oh, hey, I'm just going to get pictures of folks at this point. I'm just going to slow it down and do that.
Yeah, it didn't even occur to me that that would be a thing because it was my first, and pride was on the line, and I needed to get a 4 hour in.
Well, and quite frankly, we were thinking one and done. I mean, this is our first.
Right, but what frustrated me about that notion was, man, this is our only one we're going to do, and this was the weather we got? That stinks. So I went into this one saying, oh, this is everything I ever wanted. A beautiful sunny day and huge crowds.
Yeah.
And now in the analysis of the two, I would take the first one again in a heartbeat.
Well, I mean, look back and I think you're right. I mean, our training was much more, I don't know if it was more rigorous, but it was longer. You had a huge base of fitness.
So much deeper.
Now, I will say this though. Yes. Think back 3 years ago. Before you even considered running a marathon.
Oh, it wasn't even a possibility.
And now you're saying, oh, well, you know, I finished the 26.2. Of course I did that.
Yeah.
And I made these decisions and I did that. So, I mean, congratulations on you're now a marathoner who has the ability to compare races and make decisions during the race, knowing pretty well that you're going to finish, but it's just going to be a different day than you had anticipated, than you experienced, even that you had hoped. And not every race is going to be a PR race or even an attempt at a PR race.
I think that's right.
And I mean, 3 years ago, could you have said, I'll finish two marathons over a couple of years?
No, 3 years ago, I would have told you I won't even do a 5K.
Precisely.
In all seriousness. Right. So I think... And I've had about five or six people come up to me since Monday and say, I'm so proud of what you did. It's so amazing. I could never do that, is the thing they say.
I've said that.
And I said back to them, I absolutely guarantee you could, but you would have to give it about 20 weeks of your time. And there's ways to do it. And it's not even close to impossible, but it's a giant commitment that you have to make. That you have to then get everybody on board within your circle because you need the support.
Don't agree to direct a play while you're in the middle of it.
Don't regret. Yeah, do not get injured, recover from an injury, direct a play, do a weekly podcast about running, have a job, try to be a parent. Don't do any of those things. But it is possible. It really is. And it's astounding what you can do. And that's, for me, what that particular race and that particular day is all about. You were seeing about 29,000 impossibilities happening.
Absolutely. And, you know, we made these bracelets that we gave out in about the week before the marathon throughout the week. And then at the podcast, it's not called the podcast experience. It was called the HWRT 2017 Boston Marathon Experience. Too many guests, a list.
Well, good job.
Thank you. Anyway, the bracelet said, Boston is your victory lap. And that's sort of the catch-all because you might have the perfect weather. You might have the perfect race. You might have the perfect day. Everything might align. The bagel you ate might have been exactly what you needed. You might have brought the right collection of goos, and everything's going to go great. I'm not sure any of those things really make a difference. I really think it's a matter of the weather and you. And whether or not that's going to happen, and your fitness level and everything else.
I think that's right. I think it's a collective moment, and maybe one or two things could go right or could go wrong, or five things can go right and two things can go wrong, or 92 things can go wrong and one thing goes right. I don't know. I think And I could see why people do it more than once. I can see why people do it more than twice. Many people have since asked me from like 5 o'clock on Monday, are you going to do another one? I honestly don't have an answer. Maybe.
Peter, this year, as you know, I was so happy not to run.
You were
Boston.
Really, really
I was
happy.
So happy not to train for
you
Boston.
You were so happy.
Because, as I've said many times, Millinocket, even though it's raced in pretty bad conditions, probably, you're likely to have terrible conditions in early December in northern Maine. Your training schedule is gorgeous. It's September, October, and November. Wonderful. Of course,
oh,
I want to be running.
Did you train in the fall in New England, Brian?
Where you were training through the winter.
Wasn't that bad.
However,
wasn't that bad this year.
I'm going to tell you this because I said this to the artist in residence and maybe some other people sitting around me. As we finished up watching the Boston Marathoners go by.
Yeah.
You came by. I ran down the hill,
you
the
did.
Mile 21
I
marker
really
a little
it.
Further.
It really
almost
helped
to
me.
Our burrito place. I almost pulled you in for a burrito.
It almost helped me. And
it helped me until you started walking again.
No, it did help me. I was almost imagining like, well, this is our territory. This is right. Burrito run
this
territory.
Is,
I can
this is
clearly
where we do
keep
it.
Going. This is fine. But thank you for running with me. That was powerful.
And we did that. And then I came back. And then I sat down and I started looking at some pictures on my phone, and I looked up, and Allison DeZier was coming.
Oh, excellent.
And we got a big hug, and she was hurting. She said, the only thing she said was, I'm dying. But of course, she had a huge smile.
Yeah.
And also, her crew from Harlem Run was at mile 21, and Chris Capozzi from November Project actually saw her just 100 yards down the street, jumped off his bike, and ran over.
Oh,
so
that's
she
great.
Was getting tons of love down there. She was having, you know, she wasn't having a race. I mean, she finished the course.
Right.
But, you know, she was doing it on the time that she could give it. She was injured.
She was having
hot.
Experience. She was having
she was
experience.
Having an experience. And it was after that that I said, boy, it's hard to be a spectator when you could be running this thing. I think I might want to do this next year.
Oh, there it is.
It was really hard to watch, I have to say.
Well, if you want to be
not,
on this.
Not hard to watch, but and the first
no, I get it.
3.5 hours, I didn't feel that way at all.
No, I understand.
And Andrew was a little mad at me because she was the greatest fan out there. She made 6 or 7 different posters. She was waving them all. She had different people we knew. We were checking the app. She was holding up the appropriate sign for the people that came by, screaming her head off till she was hoarse the next, totally hoarse the next day. Mm. And I was sitting in a lawn chair in the shade, cheering people on, keeping an eye out for people I knew, but really sort of soaking it in as a spectator. And after you went by and after Allison went by, I said, now I see. I think I need to be running this puppy again.
See, you made the right move last year, 2016, because you were out of the country.
Yeah, if you're out of the country, you
can't.
Yeah,
if you have other plans, right. It's good. I was right there, and I cheered some friends on and did the thing.
Yes,
yeah,
and
but
then
it was,
you jumped right back in.
It was physically painful to do that.
Yeah.
It hurt because I wasn't part of that party. I was assisting the party, and that's cool, and that's important, and I'm not downplaying the spectator part of it. I'm just saying for someone who had just run it
right.
to then not run it is extremely hard.
Right.
And I don't know if I ever want to experience that to the point where I was thinking, well, if I'm not going to run it again, maybe I should volunteer somewhere.
Yeah, that's the other part of it is to volunteer to because
those people are working a full day.
Yeah, and you're really doing it. I mean,
and you're making a difference.
You're
every
a big
single
difference.
Person
you're
who was handing me a Gatorade, handing me some water, check you know the medical personnel who were. Medical personnel would look at you, make eye contact with you, and say very casually, hey, how you doing? And really how you answered dictated whether or not you kept going. Because you could say, you would just say, well, you know, it could be worse, it could be raining, or whatever. But if you gave any kind of indication you were slightly out of it, I saw them moving on people. Because they weren't messing around. And again, those tents were full. I mean, I believe the BAA said, if you count everybody who received medical attention after they finished, it was something like 2,500 people who received medical attention throughout
and
that
And again,
race.
That feels like it's low.
Yeah, it's about 10%.
Can I spend just a moment sharing with you what it was like for us?
At mile 20 on the hill there?
At mile 20 on the hill. We were literally at the pinnacle, the apex, the top of Heartbreak Hill. And then it rolls down toward BC. You hit mile 21 within sight of where we were standing.
Oh, so you were deep 20.
Yeah, deep 20. And then you go down, you hit a quick turn, then Cleveland Circle, you turn into Brookline, and then it's the home stretch, which is still the hardest part of the race at that point because it's another 6 miles or 5 miles. So we saw a lot of hand push wheelchairs and the crank chairs. Tim Morris went by. We gave him a big shout.
And he ended up doing very well. I saw him at the after party.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
He had a great race.
Yeah, I guess he shaved a lot of time off.
Yeah, he did. And he was in really good spirits when I saw him.
And we saw Jared Ward go by.
Oh, Olympian Jared Ward.
Yeah, we saw Galen Rupp go by.
Whoa.
He was cruising with the leader who wound up winning, and I think Galen came in second. And they were really right next to each other, and then another runner was in third. I think Jared wound up in 10th.
Officially, it was, 10th spot as well.
But you could tell, even at that point, that some of the runners, even the elites, it looked hot. And then within the first couple of hundred, I would say even the first 500 runners, there were walkers. I mean, it was amazing in that level to see people walking the race. Even if it was just, I made it up to the top of Heartbreak. But, I mean, these are people, these are all sub threes, like deep sub threes.
Yeah, but you're talking about where you are. It's been at least 2 hours on the course, right, for these people?
Well, about 2 hours.
Yeah, but that's what it is. The sun is
right.
It just punishing for 2 hours.
It was just astonishing to see that. We saw Mike Wardian go by. We saw all of our elites. It was really fun. And then it was about an hour and a half of both people from across the two side, you know, the two lanes of Commonwealth Ave.
Yeah.
So from sidewalk to sidewalk, completely full. And I think, Dan Fitzgerald described it very well. It's like you're doing like face recognition constantly.
Trying to scan.
Scan. Yeah. And at one point, a guy stopped to stretch on the side of the road, and I just watched him sort of like walk from the, run from the middle over to the sideline, and then I looked up and I said, "I just missed about 700 people."
Oh wow!
Because it was just completely packed, and I was looking for you. I was looking for my cousin Becca Lipscomb. I was looking for Emily Saul, the November Project.
These were all yellow bibs.
Well, you know what was funny is I didn't know bib colors at all. Mm-hmm. But I would have seen any of you. And mm-hmm. I missed both Emily and my cousin, actually. And I was there with her husband and her daughter, and my family
Did
was all there.
Did they see Beckstar
Runs? No, six of us were looking. We all missed her.
Oh, wow.
That's how thick the crowd was for so long. I mean, it was exhausting.
It sounds stressful.
Funny. Like,
it's very stressful to be a spectator. It really is.
Because you're out there and you're trying to be there for your person. Thankfully, we had about 20 people that we were looking for, and we got to see so many of them.
But you have to be on. You only have about 6 to 10 seconds to be completely on.
That's right.
And connect.
Andrea was even holding signs with people's names on them, and they went by.
But at that level, the best you're gonna get is like a hand wave or a head nod.
Right.
You may get a run over and a kiss or something, but not really. They're gonna keep going.
Oh, sure. Right. I mean, I think from Becca, she probably would have come over. You certainly did. Pam Rickard did.
Oh, I came over. I think I laid down.
Yeah, you did.
Did I lay down?
You ate a meal.
Did you wrap me up in the banner? Is that why I didn't see it?
You changed shoes. You took
no,
a shower.
I wish I had changed my toenails. Wish I had changed shoes.
But no, for the much faster runners, Ellen London, for example.
Did she come over?
No. Are you kidding me? She was like a lightning bolt going by. I saw she was all in black singlet, black shorts with the gold Heartbreak Hill Running Company Heartbreakers heart.
Oh, yeah.
So she went screaming by. I screamed so loud. She did give me a little head turn, but
her name has officially been changed from Funny Ellen London to Funny Fast Ellen London.
Funny Fast Ellen London.
That's right.
Well, she well deserves that. No, she went by in a blur. I think we made eye contact. I'm not really sure. I know that the people around me thought I was insane because I was screaming people's names.
Don't worry about it.
I did get a little, thumb shaka bruta salute from Mike Wardian, which was awesome.
Classic.
I'm absolutely sure he had no idea.
Classic Wardian.
Who was doing that. But I was giving out the love to all of our friends.
How many hours were you out there?
Everybody got sunburned.
So at least 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
I'll tell you a little story. The day began with, of course, it was a Monday. What happens on Monday?
I guess in November Boston. Project right. Somewhere.
So we went to Cleveland Circle. There's a little softball field between Cleveland Circle and the Brookline Reservoir. And hundreds and hundreds of people showed up. And my sister came. So she was a newbie for the first time.
Oh, exciting.
There wasn't a lot of traffic at, 5:30 in the morning.
Big turnout, low turnout?
Huge turnout.
Really?
It was hundreds and hundreds of people. And we had a great, it was a lot of fun. We did a real workout, but it was a lot of fun. I won't, bore you with the details, but it was
too late.
It was a good way to start the day. And then we drove over to Andrea's mother-in-law's house, Andrea's mom's house, who's at the top of Heartbreak Hill.
Oh, sure, because you're already in town. You were right up down. You're right
down
the street.
We just parked and drank coffee and set up the tent, and that was a little that. And then it's sort of, all right.
Now we're just doing this.
2.5-3 hours before anything really happens. But I've watched the race many, many times, and once those first wheelchairs go by, it's
on.
Exciting.
Yeah, no, it's on.
It is so exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing. And they go by, and they go by.
They're going by really fast, and it takes hours, for them to go by, and the elites go by, and then for the big field to come by. But boy, you don't want to miss it.
No, it's a parade.
It's so much fun.
It's amazing. Boy, when I think of where you were at the top of the last hill, for the wheelchair racers, that must be the best moment to break that hill.
The guy who was in the lead, he was like a machine. Yeah. I mean, he was all grit and determination, very focused.
And then you can let loose.
Hauling.
From then, there down, see you out.
Right. And some other folks looked pretty exhausted coming up. Tim looked pretty good.
He was
really
happy
steady.
With it. He was really happy with it.
And I have to say that, I think there was some relief in people's faces as they came up over that hill, because it is downhill and then it's pretty flat the rest of the race.
Yeah, there's not much. There's one or two small things, but nothing by comparison in terms of elevation later on. So that's exciting. So you have a really good spot. It's amazing that that house is right on the course.
Well, if I ever run the Boston Marathon again, I will be sure to stop there.
Well, because that's probably where I'll be, I think, because I'm going to inherit the spot. We'll do a little swap out.
We'll swap out. Now, the only thing I'm scared about, not scared.
Is qualifying?
There's two things I'm curious about. Will I be able to run Millinocket? Well, that's the first one.
Yeah, you will be. It's not even a question.
And then I would go straight into Boston Marathon training, as opposed to do nothing for 3 months, which is what I wound up doing this year.
You want some advice or no?
Yeah.
You didn't ask for any.
Yeah, please give me some advice, Peter.
Maybe just do the half at the Millinocket. Mm-hmm. Just do the half. If you are committed
about that.
Well, listen to me. If you commit to a charity team and you're going to run a real Boston next year, you probably should just do the half. Don't do the full.
I don't feel good about that.
Why?
That Millinocket course and I have some things to work out.
Okay. Then don't worry about it. Go ahead. Go nuts. Yeah. Go ahead. Want to leave your hip here and I'll work on it over the summer? And I'll give you a new one?
Let's not talk about my hip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Depends on where you want to leave it. Do you want to leave it on Millinocket? Do you want to leave it in Boston? Because you're going to leave it somewhere.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think so either, but I think in your brain it's true.
We'll see what the doc says.
Let's see how you do at the NP Summit.
Oh.
Let's see how I do at the BAA 10K. Can I bring this back around to just me for a second?
It's your day.
You know what the biggest difference was between 2 years ago and now?
Your shoes?
Nope, it's about 4 feet up from that.
The girth.
Yeah.
Glide Army.
So 15 pounds difference.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Now, I'm not saying I'm not fit. I actually feel very physically strong. And mm-hmm. again, I think I'm a mentally much stronger runner. But I'm carrying 15 pounds yeah. more
right.
every step for 26 miles, right?
That's for real.
I really felt it. So, you know, we can be done with the Clyde Army Countdown because my mom doesn't want to hear the music anymore. But I better do a little bit more work here in the next 8 or so weeks before we hit the BAA 10K because I do not want to toe the line at this poundage, even for 6 miles, even for 1 mile. So that's something about me I got to work on. But again, I don't think that's what caused my issue. I don't think I didn't help, but...
Peter, everybody has
trouble. I know, brother. I'm just saying. I've been doing a lot of self-assessment.
There's a couple of dozen people, a couple of hundred people who still ran very, very, very fast races.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it.
And then there's like 2,300 other people who did not.
23,000 other people.
Oh, that's
people.
What I meant. Sorry. Add a zero.
Can I tell you one little nugget that happened this morning?
Is it about my girth?
No.
Okay.
Andrew and I did go to the Wednesday workout at Harvard Stadium this morning.
Oh, which I debated doing, but I was so stiff. I was like, no way.
No, you got to make the right call, man. If you're not getting out of bed, don't.
Anywho.
You deserved it. Anyway, we did this thing called relay where mm-hmm. you do five sections and your
that's
partner
what we,
waits
you,
for you.
Yeah, you and I did that. Yeah.
And then you high five and the next partner does
five
time.
Sections. It's a
good it was
time.
Great. And I actually felt pretty good during it. And Andrew and I got separated and I knew, you know, she's still recovering from her back injury. So she wasn't going to, you know, crank out a whole bunch of sections. So she, I said, did you find a partner? She said, yeah, right here. And the guy was right next to her, kind of a lean young man. And I said, great. Come to find out. He finished the Boston Marathon. He was here. He's here from the Midwest. I think he was from Minnesota. He finished like 187th total.
Wow.
Total.
That was your wife's partner for the relay?
Yes. And she said, you know, that we agreed we were only going to do a few sections. She said, and we're 2 days out from the Boston Marathon. She said he was flying up the sections and running down.
God bless.
This guy finished in the top 200 total finishers of the Boston Marathon.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn good.
It was an interesting, you know, sort of coincidence, bit of happenstance. But
would you say he was in his 20s?
Yeah. Yeah, I only got a quick look at him, but he was 25. You know, people younger than that typically don't run marathons. You don't run marathons like in college or right out of college, but he was a young guy, 25, 26 maybe.
What do you think he clocked in around, 160?
Oh,
lower.
Maybe not.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, he was svelte. But he was a pure muscle.
Yeah, no, it makes a difference. Yeah, no, totally.
You know, some runners look emaciated. He was, I think, pretty muscular.
I got to say a couple things. I am very sad. My only regrets, I have two of them from this whole experience, and they were that I did not get any time to meet and talk with Allison Desir.
Yes.
Who is someone I would love to see, and I've been trading some messages with, and I think I have to go to Harlem. I think that's the bottom line.
Well, you'll find her there.
And the other one is Pam Rickard. Our ships did not cross in this night, and that was hard for me. And I Pam, if you're listening, I apologize for not finding you. I did look in while we were all getting corralled. It was a swarm of people. It was crazy, and I was trying so hard to spot anybody I could see, but the universe sometimes doesn't let you connect, and. There's a reason for everything. But, so I missed out on those two experiences, and I apologize. Then there's a couple people I do need to thank.
Oh, because well, this is your platform.
They
Peter,
went,
go right ahead.
They went, no pun intended, the extra mile for me.
Really?
Cut it out.
Did you need to do that?
No, we don't do enough running puns on the show.
How about we don't do any more puns? Oh, well, then I would be kicked off the show because that's all I bring.
It's okay with me. Go ahead.
Ouch.
No, I do need to thank... again, social media guru Anna Brooks, who saw me at almost mile 17 and attempted to see me at Cleveland Circle and then attempted to see me at the finish line and the lovely Boston Tea was not cooperating, and we had to end up regrouping at the after party for Spalding, and she worked her butt off that entire day to try to see me. So she was the best, and she's my support network. She's my support network, and she's my focus. And
yay, Anna.
So thank you, Anna. But close second.
Yes.
Yeah, a tie for second would be Feedback Corner's Lauren Madden.
Yay, Lauren Madden.
Because she made the most wonderful sign for me, and she was outside her parents' place up probably about a mile before you, actually. I'm surprised you guys didn't hang out during the day because you really were very close to each other.
Oh, no kidding.
And she was great and very supportive and has been nothing but effusive and lovely. So thank you, Lauren.
Speaking of great signs.
Okay.
One of our greatest fans, Tiffany from Kansas City.
Oh my gosh, number one fan, Tiffany Bode Scheffler. Thank you so much, Tiffany.
And I saw her sign on social media. Did you see it on the actual course?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God, it was hilarious.
There's a couple photos.
It had
it.
Your
yeah.
face.
Yeah, it's
it
ridiculous.
Had the Clyde Army logo. Well,
you know, she's a teacher, and she makes do with limited resources. Right. And she
does the most with the least.
She really does. And she was fabulous. She visited us at the BPL at our crazy experience party the Saturday before. She and her good friend were running around the city, and
they soaked it all in.
They did it right.
Came to our show. They came to the run and the after party at Heartbreak
Hill.
They
went to a game at Fenway. They did the Freedom Trail.
They did the State House. I mean,
they had run the 5K.
Yeah.
No, they did everything.
And they had a friend running the marathon. And you running the marathon.
And I hope they had nothing but a good time. The physical evidence on Facebook says to me that they had a blast, but I thank you so much. You're absolutely right. Number one fan, Tiffany. Thank you so much.
So great.
But then the other person I've got to thank, because they also attempted and completed the dual spots on the course, two different spots.
Okay.
Was, you know him as Santa JG. Jonathan Meath. He caught me in Natick, and then he caught me again at Newton Lower Falls.
Did he get on his sleigh
he
with
used
the
eight,
tiny reindeer to do that?
He laid the finger next to his nose.
That's amazing.
He actually mentioned that the traffic was much harder than he thought it was going to be. Uh-huh. And he almost missed me in Natick. That was where he actually had the hardest time, was getting there. But he was awesome to see in both spots. We had scouted it a week or two before, which is key, by the way. If anybody from out of town is doing this, try to get on that course early.
Oh yeah,
and see where you're talking about when you say, yeah, "Hey, meet me here," because it is very challenging, mm-hmm, especially on a good weather day. There's just too many people. It's really hard.
So many people, and as I said, I mean, it's like trying to find a droplet in a fire hose of water.
It's very true. Speaking of that, fire hydrants were open, and spraying
about that.
Lovely mists of refreshing water, and everybody has been amazing, and the outpouring from people who listen to the show, people who've actually never met me, people who I work with, people who are friends and family. The amount of love and support I got going into the race, like the days before, especially the night before, and then just an unbelievable cavalcade of attention right afterwards, to the point where I'm just like, I'm overwhelmed. I actually can't handle it. So thank you, everybody.
Your love basket is full.
Yeah, and I got to give it to my brother. He came into the city. He brought my mom into the city. He had missed it 2 years ago because of a conflict, and he came in, and there he was, and I was so psyched to have him there.
There's photo evidence. You got
There's
your picture.
Proof it happened. Goals were met.
Amazing, Peter. Congratulations.
Thank
I
you so much.
I can't say anything more. No, I literally can't say anything more.
If you're going to run Boston, though, what, I'm not going to? I'm just saying. We have to have a much larger conversation.
I think we do, because that's a lot of money to raise, because neither of us is qualifying, I can tell you that.
Well, I can tell you, I can get you onto Spalding if that's what you want, because you can have my spot. I do have to say, I told them I would say it, the after party was way better than anything else I had experienced. I have to say that, because it really was good. I got a monogrammed robe. I'm going to say it again, a monogrammed robe.
Peter, this doesn't happen often, but I am completely speechless.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
I know. It was beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful.
That rivals that Little Rock, Arkansas medal I want to get.
Yeah, you want that bad. Yeah,
I want that thing. Monogram robe.
Yeah, no, and all the, I will say all the charity teams do a great job of taking care of their people, and it's an honor to run for any of them. And I've been lucky to run for two very good charities, and the amount of money that is raised is phenomenal. And the you know, that's really the spirit of the race, as we've said. And I will support you in any way I can, should you choose to do so.
Let's not speak of this anymore.
Mm.
Not about my races.
Mm.
Let's close it down.
Let's bring it down. I'm going to now go back into my cocoon of recovery. I have Band-Aids on my toes right now as we speak.
Just don't do what I did and stop all physical activity for 3 weeks straight.
No, I don't wish to do that. I think I have to get right back, right away, actually, into spin class. I miss it very much.
Why don't you just go on Instagram and look at Lori and Paul's Instagram pictures, and then you'll be shamed right into running, like, tomorrow. Maybe even after we hit stop on the recorder here, you're going to have to go for a run once you look at their stuff.
Well, it was Mike Wording, I think, who told me to probably sign up for a marathon from, like, next Tuesday.
He said,
see what's going on the weekend.
Go run next weekend and see how you do.
Yeah, see how you do. I'm sure you can pick up a race somewhere.
I'm sure there's a marathon somewhere.
It's very good.
Oh.
Hey.
Hey.
This has been episode 76 of How Was Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence.
Listen to us every week wherever you collect podcasts. I left mine somewhere around mile 14 along with my spirit. But whenever you visit that special podcast place, please give us a rating and a comment. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked.
Join us every Saturday on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram with your SatStat chats. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and include a sweet, sweet photo.
Fulfill all of your HWRT shopping needs at our Redbubble store. Brian, I just bought myself a Clyde Army coffee travel mug that is to beat the band.
I've seen it. It's magnificent. And if you love HWRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free. And it's easier than running the Boston Marathon with six packets of the same boring flavored goo.
It was a mistake. It was a tactical mistake. I'll never make it again. I learned a lot from this marathon, buddy. I'm telling you, it was a good day.
Keep moving forward, Peter.
That's what I say. For everything else, please go to hwrt.com.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, Brian. I'm back to running.
Are you?
I did a two over the weekend. I took a spin class.
Well, I guess you had good runs. I was going to say, go sign up for a race.
I'm looking at a few.
Are you looking at the Seacoast Running Festival?
You can still get half off, by the way. HWRT is the code. Go look at it. I might do it. Are you looking at it? I feel like you're looking at it.
I'm looking at it.
Are you 50%
off registration, HWRT.
Father's Day. Are you going to do it?
It might happen.
Oh, which race?
Which race?
Which race?
That's tough. I wouldn't reveal that yet. I don't know what I'm ready for.
Don't commit. Save that for another episode. 76 episodes of this podcast here.
I might run a half marathon.
No, you're not going to do that.
I might do that.
No.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to. You're not ready.
Peter?
Go ahead.
Have a good day.
Have a good run today.
Thank you. Have a good run today.
What? Do it again.
Peter?
Yeah.
Have a good run today.
I want you to.
Thank you.
Goodbye.